In 1984, I was in seminary taking a course called the Interpersonal Relationship Class, IPR, a peer learning group experience designed to help ministers explore various personal and professional issues that may arise during their ministry. It was a week-long intensive, and at the beginning of our class, the professor very clearly said, "This is a group process class. It depends on the group being here. The class starts at 9 and ends at 4, and each of you will be at all sessions of the class." I raised my hand. I have tickets for a concert on Thursday evening, and I need to catch the train and leave early. The professor started to say something that I thought would be negative, and I continued, "My husband stood in line for 7 hours with our 1.5-year-old for those tickets." The professor closed her mouth. That Thursday, we arrived at the Veterans Stadium parking lot in Philadelphia to find a church revival atmosphere like no other. Soft pretzel vendors, t-shirt stands, and recordings of past sermons playing at full volume from everybody's car. It was church on the boardwalk at the Jersey Shore. You may think it strange that somebody studying for the ministry to attend such an event, but I really wanted to be there. I was dying to hear this man preach, and so were the thousands upon thousands of my fellow pilgrims tailgating before the service. How can this preacher be the most popular theologian in America? He never graduated from seminary. He never even went to seminary. He pastors no church. He doesn't have a weekly televangelism program, nor has he written any popular religious books, such as The Purpose-Driven Life. He is, however, part of an American tradition of letters in direct line from Emerson to Walt Whitman to John Steinbeck to Woody Guthrie to Bob Dylan. His work is scripture of the living tradition for a large segment of contemporary America, the way Mary Oliver's poetry is scripture for many Unitarian Universalists. America's theologian laureate is Bruce Springsteen. Just as John Murray came to Gloucester by way of New Jersey, I bring you this morning a look at American spiritual landscape by way of a New Jersey songwriter. In the tradition of our Unitarian Universalist tradition of continuing revelation, we can see his work as a uniquely American voice in our living tradition, a voice that speaks of hope, overcoming life's obstacles in a hard land, a voice that articulates our liberal religious principles through songs that repeatedly deal with the dignity and worth of every person, and the search for truth and meaning and justice in a post-Vietnam, post-Cold War America. Springsteen shares much in common with the early Universalists in that as a live performer, his reputation was made on his stage show, circuit riding, one club and one hall at a time. If you have a chance, I encourage you to read his recent autobiography, Born to Run. In it, describing his desire to make it big in music, to leave his mark, he looked around and realized he was not the best guitar player. He could hold his own. And he was not the best singer, but what he could do is write and perform, and if he was going to make it, he had to be the best writer he could be, the best storyteller, and give every performance his all. His music is more craftsmanlike than sophisticated. He's a songwriter as much as a songwriter. He's blue collar, not white collar, union hall, not nightclub. He is witty and a master showman. Bruce Springsteen's vision is like the universalism upon which this church was founded, a thoroughly American one. David Reich wrote in the UU World that the early Universalists, both laity and clergy, had a distinctive character that set them off from the other liberal religionists. Unlike the typically urban and urbane Unitarian clergy, many of the early Universalist preachers were rough-hewn circuit riders with little formal education. With their quick wits, their talent for improvisation, and their radically democratic bent, The circuit riders and their followers were quintessentially American, and their lives were the stuff of which good stories are told. Springsteen is most effective when his songs tell stories, religious stories. Especially those told by Jesus, most associated with the term parable, are defined by a certain trait. Parables are simple narratives, easily recognized as set in everyday life, in a certain time and place with believable human characters who must deal with moral and ethical dilemmas. Often we see the characters facing the consequences of a moral choice. Parables are not fairy tales. Parables are not myths. Parables are not analogies where each element within the story represents something in real life. But rather, the parable makes an ethical point as a whole. Springsteen's best story songs fit that exact mold. He is an American parabolist. He is quoted as saying, "The point in a lot of my stuff is that they're like scenarios. They're like plays. Plus, I write about moments. Moments when people are pushed to take a certain action, to do something, anything, to get out of their present situation or circumstances or predicament, to step out." The most famous of his songs and the title of his autobiography, Born to Run, features a man and a woman struggling with their existence and feeling trapped. The protagonist of the song cries, "Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. We gotta get out while we're young, 'cause tramps like us, baby, we were born to run." After describing all the different ways that they are trapped, the protagonist goes on to say, "Together, Wendy, we can live with the sadness. I'll love you with all the madness in my soul. Someday, girl, I don't know when, we're going to get to that place where we really want to go, and we'll walk in the sun, but till then, tramps like us, baby, we were born to run." It would be a mistake to consider Springsteen the protagonist of these songs. The emotions are real, but the actions aren't his. The characters are idealized and universalized, and their function is to symbolize and develop the themes of the songs. In a sense, Springsteen is all the men and most of the women, but so is any listener. It would be easy enough to think that Born to Run was about Springsteen himself, and it may be, about his desire to escape the smallness of Asbury Park in New Jersey, and about his desire to set the world on fire. But just as he was becoming an adult, his father, who struggled with mental illness all his life, moved himself and Springsteen's mother to California, where for a few years they found their place in the sun. Perhaps Born to Run is about Springsteen. Perhaps it is about his parents' complicated relationship. Perhaps it is about the human desire to start over, to leave the wreckage of one's past behind. Perhaps, as a great parable, it is all these things. Although Springsteen favors rock and roll forms for his parables, and many stories feature images of cars and leaving home, being on the run and getting out of town, his music is really not rebel music. Dave Marsh writes, "In Springsteen's song, a questing, a romantic spirit is inevitably scorned and banished. He is torn between his own abandonment of the traditional values and his desire to seek them as refuge." This idea of seeking to break free from traditional values, yet at the same time wanting to seek refuge within their familiarity, their known forms, their comforting relationship, and their history resonates deeply with both religion and politics in America. I think this is one reason our Unitarian Universalist congregations are such an inviting place for so many who grew up in other faiths or in no faith. Unitarian Universalist come-inners can relate to this feeling in their spiritual lives quite well, knowing the old forms and structures of religion don't work for them, that church or temple or synagogue was no longer in sync with their heart or their intellect, and yet at the same time desiring connection to community, to family, to spirit, to heart, and to mind, to tradition that church and temple and synagogue provides. The same holds true, I believe, with Americans in terms of their political aspirations. Many Americans are populists and progressives at heart. Even in this year of this horrible election process, I do believe that people respond to political campaigns and to politicians articulating a message of hope. And that has sorely been missing this year. Yet at the same time, we don't want to feel abandoned in what we perceive and identify as traditional American values. Springsteen's America is easily recognizable, but not so easily pigeonholed. He sings about an America most of us have seen, if not experienced, felt, if not been immersed in. Where else but in America can you find Thunder Road and Greasy Lake, the Badlands and the Boardwalk, the swamps of Jersey, the fire roads and the interstate, Mary's Place, 10th Avenue, 57th Street, and the Mansions of Glory? Where else but in America live characters such as the Magic Rat, the Barefoot Girl, Hazy Davy, Spanish Johnny, and Rosalita, and of course, the big man who joined the band? Honesty, fairness, democracy, justice, compassion, and dignity are the principal values in this American landscape. The song parables are about people who have to struggle, often in vain, to achieve a life or make a living where their right to these things is respected. The Vietnam vet who, in the main character in the story Born in the USA, shouts his cry in the chorus of that song, "I was born in the USA," not in patriotic triumph, no matter who has used that song, but as a grand old nephew of Uncle Sam, in despair that the country that sent him to war cannot employ him, house him, feed him, or treat him with dignity upon his return. Springsteen tells the real-life parable of 23-year-old Guinean immigrant Amadou Diallo, who was killed by plainclothes New York policemen in 1999 in the song 41 Shots. The narrator calls us to the chilling realization, it ain't no secret, no secret, my friend, you can get killed just for living in your American skin. Like most pragmatically useful religious voices, however, Springsteen deals in hope, most of all. The narrator in The Price You Pay, after describing Moses entering the Promised Land, says, "But just across the county line, a stranger passing through put up a sign that counts the men fallen away to the price you pay. And before the end of the day, I'm going to tear it down and throw it away." It's imperative that that sign come down. My opening words for this service this morning are taken from Springsteen's song, The Land of Hope and Dreams. That sign will stop us from getting to the land of hope and dreams. And that's why it has to come down. And we're headed on that train out of this hard land to the land of hope and dreams. Leave behind your sorrows. Let this day be the last. Tomorrow there'll be sunshine and all this darkness past. Big wheels roll through fields where sunlight streams. Meet me in the land of hope and dreams. If you've ever had the fortune to attend a Springsteen tent meeting concert, you know that he ends the show proper before any encores by playing his most famous hit, Born to Run. And all of a sudden, all the house lights come on. After a few hours with the lights off in an arena with only spotlights on the stage, it's quite an effect. There's a line in the song, "Everybody's out on the run tonight, but there's no place left to hide," that sums up the song, the scene, and the spiritual life. It's a fitting final metaphor. Another rock poet, The Who's Pete Townsend, has said, "Rock and roll will not let you run away from your problems, but it will let you dance all over them." Religion, at its best, is the same, which may be why that young seminarian spent time going to rock and roll shows. You cannot come to church seeking pure escapism, hoping to leave behind what's hurting you. But it's here in church, if we as a community are doing our job, that you can find a place where you can face your troubles, ennoble yourself to live through what's going on in the rest of your life, the spiritual equivalent of learning to dance. Church is where the heart goes dancing. We are all ultimately left out in the open to the vicissitudes of life, the ups and downs, the joys and pain. We seek light, enlightenment, and then when it shines on us like the midnight sun, it may seem overwhelming, like someone turning on the lights after we've been sitting in the dark for quite a while. But when the lights go on, we realize we are not alone. There are a whole lot of other people here with us, dancing in the dark, doing the best we can, dreaming American dreams, praying American prayers, not of jingoism and chest thumping, but of making it, getting by, doing better, doing the right thing, dreams of dignity, worth, peace, things we learned about in a story once, things we heard in a parable somewhere, playing on a car radio down by the boardwalk. In a world without end, may this be so.